Hi everyone, welcome to Final Score with The Score. Chelsea 2, West Ham 1. Chelsea get a win, do the double over West Ham and go up to 4th in the Premier League. We went 1-0 down in the game, but came back to win. So we're going to talk about the game today. We're also going to talk about the fact that it's deadline day and that this is the last day of the window and how to get done in the window. So it's going to be a good call today. Rambles is with me and Louis is going to join us from the ground later. So Rambles, your first thoughts about the game?
I think relief, you know, it was a much needed victory.
Yeah, it was. I was really worried at halftime, I got to admit. 1-0 down. And it was just a gift. They didn't do anything to score that goal. We just gifted it to them. Really poor from Levi Colwill, honestly. And just sloppy. And they took their chance, you know, and of course it's the guy that's just come back from injury. First game back from injury, Jared Bowen gets a goal and we gift it to him. But fair play to Maresca. He made some good changes, some early changes. Brought on Pedro Neto. I thought Pedro Neto was man of the match. I think he changed the game. Obviously he got our first goal, but he was brilliant. And then obviously we got the second one, which was an own goal from a Cole Palmer shot and we held on. So we're now in fourth in the Premier League. We're only 4 points off third place, despite all the kind of doomsday people that keep saying that we're rubbish and our season is over. We're not. It's not. We're in fourth place. There are some positives today. Obviously, there's some criticisms as well. Also, Jorgensen came in to goal for Sanchez. And I thought he did. Had a solid game. Wasn't spectacular, but solid and much better than Sanchez. So first, I think we should talk about Pedro Neto. He came off the bench. He's had a lot of criticism in the last few weeks for some reason. People say he's not quite done enough. I've always said that he needs a proper striker to aim at, which we still haven't got after 5 windows, but that's another conversation. But today I thought he came on and was brilliant. He had tons of energy. He ran at defenders. He got into the box, and he scored a really good goal. I thought he changed the game. How do you think, Pedro Neto did today?
I think it was one of, if not his best performance in the Chelsea shirt. He totally transformed the game. We just looked so much more dangerous when he came on. And, you know, he was getting crosses into the box. He was making things happen. And we just looked a much better team when he came on.
Yeah, I agree. I absolutely agree. And he got a goal. And he deserved it. It's his third goal, I think, for Chelsea. Hopefully he'll get some more. But I think it was and the thing about it was as well, like Maresca has been criticised for not making early enough substitutions or making enough substitutions. But he brought Pedro Neto on relatively early. I think it was the 60th minute or 50th minute. It worked. It changed the game and we won the game. So yeah, I mean, I like him. I think he's a good player. I think he's got a good work ethic. He's a bit more experienced. He's not a kid. He's not a project, you know, like a lot of our players are. I think that kind of told today. What did you think of that early substitution from Maresca?
Yeah, I think he deserves huge credit for tonight because, you know, for the last few weeks, especially in our bad run of form, he's been getting a lot of criticism for not making substitutions early enough. And I think today he was very proactive, made subs early. You know, he brought on, you know, people have been crying out to see more of Nkunku, more of Gui, and, you know, they both came on with plenty of time left in the game.
Yeah, I was going to talk about Gui, yeah, and I thought he did really well, actually. I thought he worked really hard. I think his movement was really good.
Sadly, a bit of a bad, well, hopefully it's not too serious, but Mark Gui went down the tunnel looking injured and very upset, apparently.
And Jackson's injured as well, you know, so lucky we signed a striker, right?
Yeah, very lucky.
You know, all those talks behind the scenes to sign a striker, I'm sure that'll that'll solve the problem. Anyway, we'll talk about that in a minute. So yeah, we wish Jackson and Guhi well. I hope they get better and they're not injured. And it's not serious because we've got a game on the weekend. We've got an FA Cup game against Brighton. So, we'll see about that. But yeah, I'm really pleased with the result. And it's good to get a win. We needed a win. Everyone, make sure you check out the Chelsea Echo Twitter account. It's loads of great content on there, which we'll talk about later, but great account, lots of great content, really great account to follow. Some good people run the account, so make sure you give that a follow. So I also wanted to talk about, the striker thing, because we'll talk about that in a second. Jorgensen, in for Sanchez. We've been begging for weeks for Sanchez to be dropped, and it hadn't happened, and he was dropped today for Jorgensen. How do you think Jorgensen did, Rambles?
Yeah, I didn't think he was too bad. You know, he wasn't, I wouldn't say he was brilliant, but he is going to need a run of games. I think it's very difficult for a goalkeeper to come in after not starting for several games and expect him to do really well. He needs a run of games to build his confidence and to build an understanding of the players in and around him. But yeah, I definitely think he should be starting the next several games.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, with goalkeepers, it's difficult because, you know, they either play or they don't play. They don't come off the bench. So yeah, I mean, if you're not playing, it's easy to get a bit rusty, you know. And so he hasn't played since the FA Cup game. So he hasn't played for about 3 weeks, you know. So he's obviously going to be a bit rusty. And he's only played like one Premier League game, I think, is it? Or two? Two, I think.
I think this is second.
So he's going to be a bit rusty, you know, and you're right. He needs a run of games. I think you just give him a run now, 4, 5, 6 games at least, see how he does. Because he can't be any worse than Sanchez.
No. Like,
he literally could not get worse than Sanchez. Sanchez is, I'm even starting to think he's worse than Kepa, which is some achievement. Fair play to Maresca. He dropped Sanchez today. And it was the right decision and we won the game. Jorgensen wasn't like spectacularly brilliant, but he was solid. He didn't make any stupid mistakes. I think that's the thing. Like with Sanchez, you always feel like he's about to make a mistake any moment. I didn't feel that today with Jorgensen. I wasn't worried that he was going to make a stupid mistake out of nowhere. You know, even though I'm not saying he's a world-class keeper, but I don't fear him making mistakes like I do with Sanchez. Is that, do you feel that as well?
Yeah, I agree. He just fills me with more confidence. And he just does the basics better. You know, Sanchez, he just seems to have a lot of brain farts when he's on the ball. You know, we've seen what a good shot stopper Sanchez can be, but he gets the ball, he makes stupid passes to the opposition.
Yeah. Yeah, and actually we heard that Erling Haaland said that they'd kind of planned for Sanchez mistakes tactically before the Man City game, which tells you everything. It was becoming a real problem. And the players clearly didn't have any confidence in him either, which can unsettle a whole defence. I think I certainly felt a bit more relaxed with him in goal, for sure. The goal that we gave away wasn't because of the goalkeeper. It was a good strike as well. There's not much he could have done to save it, probably. It was a mistake by Levi Colwill. I don't blame him for the goal, certainly. One thing actually I don't know this statistic. I would like to know how many goals teams have actually earned against us as opposed to us gifting them goals, because Man City, we gifted them 2 goals. We gifted West Ham a goal today. We gift, like, the Crystal Palace's goal against us is because Cole Palmer lost possession. Against Ipswich, one wasn't even a goal and the other one was gifted by De Zarzi. There's so many games recently where we've conceded goals, but they haven't actually outplayed us to score them. We've just made stupid mistakes. And today was another one. I don't think we defended badly today apart from the goal. You know, I mean, they had West Ham had a lot of attacks, but we defended them. You know, I thought Tosin played really well. I thought that was the right pick tactically because of his height. He won a lot of headers and he got the ball away, and he's a bit more of an experienced head next to Levi Colwill as well. So I thought that was the right pick. I don't think we did anything really bad defensively. I just think like there was that stupid mistake. And, you know, by Levi Colwill, and he's getting dogs abuse on the platform, which I don't like because he's only 21 and he can't be expected to be the finished article yet, especially when he's got no experience next to him, which we keep going on about. But in terms of like Jorgensen, I was quite happy. I'm happy for him to get a run of games now.
Yeah, I think until anything untoward happens, he should be number one for the remainder of the season. Because Sanchez has shown time and time again he just cannot be trusted. He's just an absolute liability.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't even play Sanchez in cup games or the Conference League, actually. Honestly, I pick Jorgensen in every game. He won't do that.
Yeah, yeah, likewise, I'd do the same. Or if push comes to shove, I'd rather play Bettinelli or Bergstrom in goal.
Yeah. Or maybe if we go like 5-0 up in the first leg of a Conference League tie, then you could play Sanders in the second leg because it's Conference League. And
I joked the other day, I'd rather bring Willy Caballero out of retirement than play Sanchez.
Honestly, I love Willy Caballero.
Yeah.
He was a cult hero.
He was a good keeper.
He's on my coaching staff now as well.
He is, yeah.
He's one of my assistants, so he's at the club. I don't think Robert Sanchez would like if we brought him out of retirement.
No.
Over him, though. But I'll be honest, I don't care. Because Robert Sanchez is not good enough and needs to be sold.
I 100% agree.
Everyone, I think 100% of fans agree on that as well. But yeah, Jorgensen, fair play to the guy. Came in, you know, did a good job. Didn't make any mistakes as far as I'm concerned. And was solid. The cover player didn't look as nervous with him in goal. Defenders, I don't think they look more comfortable with him in goal, which is a thing, which is important.
Yeah, I thought that as well.
He seems more calming influence at the back.
He does. Yeah, Sanchez is very erratic. You know, he just seems more steady.
Yeah, and he did the same things as well, right, Jorgensen. Like he had a few shots near the end. Some of them were straight at him, but he still stopped them. You know, and he was right over them. He didn't take any risk. He just, you know, got right over the ball, stopped it, no problems. You know.
Sometimes you just want a keeper who just does the basic stuff well, you know. They don't need to do all this fancy stuff.
Yeah, exactly. That's honestly what I prefer that. You know, I want a keeper to be able to take crosses, save shots, make saves, not make mistakes. You know, all the other stuff is a bonus for me. I'm old school like that. 100%. So yeah, well done, Jorgensen. And I hope he gets to win the games now because I think he deserves it. And certainly Sanchez doesn't deserve to be playing at all. So 100%. So everyone, make sure you do check out the voice note review. Louis will be doing that. That'll be coming on this evening sometime. A little 3-minute review of the game from Louis. And we all love his takes, and he'll be able to talk about Sparky Play-Doh tonight. That's Mark Gooey, by the way, who didn't know. That's his nickname for him. So make sure you check that out. That'll be on the Chelsea Echo Twitter, which I talked about earlier. So make sure you do check all those things out. And Louis hopefully will be here at some point because he was at the game. So, hopefully we're going to get his feedback soon. But, Gary Hayes is here. Welcome, Gary. You want to come up? You can. You don't have to, though. But anyway, yes. So it's time for, the Rambles Rant or Rambles Rave. So well,
I was thinking I could do a rant about so many different things. I'm going to do a rave and I'm going to do a rave about Tosin. I thought his match winning block at the end was superb. And he's another player I think's got a lot of unfair criticism, you know. But there's been quite a few games where he's made match-winning blocks. I think some of the criticism he's got, and I don't know why, has been very, very unfair. I think he's a really solid player, and he's a leader as well.
He is. He's got leadership qualities. They've talked about him being a leader in the camp as well and having a lot of influence and younger players looking up to him. And I was at the FA Cup game and saw him play that game. And I'm not going to say I was impressed. You know, I know the opposition wasn't that great, but he looked calm on the ball, good in possession, really good in the air, organising people. You know, he's massive. He's absolutely giant physically, but he's also good on the ball. Also, he seems to have got a cult status with the fans, because when I was there, everyone was cheering, shouting his name to shoot, you know, and he was celebrating with the fans properly when he scored those two goals. Considering we got him on a free transfer, well, I think that's the sporting directors rightly get criticised a lot, and I've criticised them a lot this month and will continue to, but that signing looks a smart one for a squad player, you know, and he played well tonight. And you're right, he's made some important blocks. Against Everton, he made a block on the line right at the end, I think, to get us a point.
Yeah.
So he's been an important signing. He's been, like, he's a squad player. Right, he's not going to start every single game, but games like tonight, in West Ham, you know, they're a physical side, they're good in the air. You need a bit of height at the back, a bit of physicality, and he gave that. That was the right team selection for me. And I know that Trev didn't start because of it, but I still think it was the right decision. And Trev came on later anyway, and I thought he was great. Actually, again, he's always a calming influence when he comes on. Good on the ball, composed, you know, can just keep the game going at his pace. So a little nod to him. But yeah, Tosin, absolutely agree with you on that. He's an unsung hero, I think. Yeah, he's not going to be a first choice centre back, but he's got a bit of experience and he can play games like today. He can play cup games, conference games, you know, and come off the bench maybe in Premier League games as well to see games out. He's that kind of player and he's a team player. And when you need players like that in a squad, 100%. And I hope we keep him because purely because of his experience and his leadership qualities. And we need that in the squad, because they keep buying toddlers and don't buy any experience, so we need to keep what experience we have. That's a really good shout, Rambles.
Thanks, really, buddy.
Yeah, I like that one, because I hadn't thought of that today actually as a topic, so I bet that's a really, really good shout. Louis still not here, we're still waiting for him, but we'll keep going. If you do want to come up and talk about the game and talk about Chelsea generally, do request. We'd love to hear from you. This is your show. We want your voice to be heard. The fans' voice is important, so make sure you request. We're going to be talking about the transfer window as the last topic later. There's some things that happened during the game, so we'll talk about those in a minute. So if you want to talk about that, do request. We've got a request already. That's great, isn't it? Ken has requested. I'm going to bring him up. And I'm going to get his views. Ken, welcome. What are your thoughts on the game?
Hey, how's it going? Game. I would tell you, I'm sure like pretty much everyone else who's ever said they were a Chelsea fan, that first half had my stomach doing flips. I felt sick. And unfortunately, like I tweeted, I had that feeling. Remember when we were going through that slide under Potter, funnily enough, and that feeling would come every single game. We're not doing anything, give the ball away and let the team score. I had that exact feeling. I thought it was going to end like that, but shout out to Maresca. He made the change at the 50th minute. I mean, besides maybe at the beginning of the season, has he ever made the subs early? Especially during this slide, I don't think he was making subs early. So hopefully this is a lesson, just like dropping Sanchez, that, you know, changes work. So it's good to see Mark Yu even, you know, working hard. Hopefully, you know, doesn't have a crazy hamstring, because if so, we have no striker for at least a month. But, you know, we worked out. We got it done. So at the end of the day, I can go to the gym and work out happy and not.
Awesome. Who is your man of the match?
Man of the match? Ooh. You know, if we're talking about who changed the game, most impact, I'd give it to Pedro Neto. He came on and was doing everything that Sancho and Madueke, unfortunately, were not, you know. But his crosses, if we had a serious striker, they would eat off his ability to put the ball in the box pinpoint. He put that ball in, three people could have hit it, and it still hit Cucurella. He wasn't even expecting it. So
yeah,
I give it a Pedronetto with his limited time.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that. Absolutely, 100%. Thanks, Ken. Thanks for coming out. I really appreciate it. We've got people requesting now, so
it's no great problem.
Yeah, thanks a lot for coming up. All right, let me, who's next up? Gary. I'll bring Gary up. I've got to bring Gary up or I'll get in trouble. All right, Gary, where are you right now? Are you in America or are you here?
Where's Ken gone?
Oh, he just went.
Oh, you need to get Ken back up here. Ken's my neighbour. He's a dude.
Is he? Well, I follow. Oh, there he is. He's still here. I can still see him.
Come on, Ken. Come back up. We need to have a Rutherford, New Jersey love in, bro.
Okay, I'll get him up again.
I did DM you score when he was chatting. And I was like, ask him for a Supreme Bagel for breakfast.
I brought Ken up again. There we go.
I left to be what's what it called? To be respectful. Don't talk to these people about Supreme. They don't know anything about Rutherford, New Jersey. Come on.
What are we thinking, Ken? Are we thinking Supreme Bagel or need a bagel?
Definitely Supreme. We don't need Supreme bagels. We are Supreme. Yeah, all the way. Yeah. Just make sure next time you make the train. You don't miss the train. You're always missing the train. Can't wake up. I got a video of this guy, you know, slightly out of shape, trying to jog and make the train.
Ken, hold that train for me, bro.
I tried, but the last time, you know, I had to do a little community service.
I'm sort of like Nico Jackson up front. I tried.
Hey, don't you talk bad. You're talking to the president of the Nico Jackson Stockholders Investment Group. All right. We're going through a little bit of a lull. There's a bit of tariffs over here on our side, but you know, we're working on it.
My man, Ken. I'm a Nico Jackson fan too. So, yeah, 100%. Oh, great to have you both up. You both watched the game in the States, did you, on TV?
Yeah, separate places, though.
Right.
Just down the block from each other. Anyway, Score, how are you feeling about the game? I was watching Neto and Cucurella be interviewed on US TV, so I didn't really hear what was going on. And when I turned my volume up, all I could hear was Ken, and I was like, that's my bro.
Oh, well, no, I'm happy with the win. I think in the second half performance, we probably just about deserved the win. Pedro Neto was excellent. I thought Jorgensen was better than Sanchez in goal. We just talked about that. So, by the way, I've just shared to the Jumbotron, David Ornstein confirmed, this actually happened during the game, that Aston Villa are signing Axel Disasi on loan at the end of the season with about a £5 million loan fee. So that's it. He's gone.
Good business. How crazy is this, though, that in the summer we were willing to let Chaloba go on a permanent deal for the likes of Disasi to stay, and now Disasi is being sent out on loan when Chaloba's recalled. What does that tell you?
Yeah, I know. I think we all know what that tells us, don't we?
That's just crazy. It's just crazy business. That 6 months ago, they were fighting to keep one over the other, and it's just flipped.
Yeah, 100%.
Quality won out in the end.
Exactly. The cream always rises to the top.
It does indeed. Yeah.
But one thing I was going to ask, I've been so busy with work, I haven't really been keeping up on the news, and this might be a stupid question, people like rolling their eyes in the room, but
Right. Why
is Neto not starting? Because I know Ken was just saying there, and when you said that, who's your man of the match, I was like, Neto. He's our best winger and he's not getting in the team. Does anyone know why?
I know. I've been saying
no idea.
That Nonny's been starting and I don't know why. He scored in the last two games. I guess that's why he kept his place. But I've been wanting Neto to start for ages. I'm a massive fan of his. Everyone's been on his back in the last month because he's not scored enough. He's not assisted enough, you know, and one of the reasons he's not assisted enough is we haven't got a box nine to get on the end of his crosses because his crosses are brilliant. You know, he's never been a goal scorer, really. But you're right. Like today, he was absolutely lethal as soon as he came on. He was completely different. He changed the game. He upped the pace of the game. It was really slow until he came on. No. And he came on and suddenly we were moving the ball faster. We were getting the ball forward quicker. You know, he was getting in good positions. He, you know, he created some chances. And of course he scored the goal, which is a really good finish, by the way. Really good finish.
But the way he sniffed it out as well, this is what I like about him. He's direct, he's honest, and he's unselfish. And he just, the way he sniffed the goal out where he put the ball in, he didn't stand to admire what was a good cross. He sort of just carried on doing what was required of him, which was sniffing out danger.
Yeah, he's a more proven player than a lot of our wingers. You know, he's had a few seasons in the Premier League. You know, he's been an international. You know, he's not a kid. He's not a project. That's what I said. He's an established player, right? And he's a hard worker. Like whenever I've seen him play, even if he's having a bad game, he'll still be working. He'll still be tracking back. He'll still be pressing. He'll still be running. You know, even if he's not having a good game, and that's why I like him. And I'm with you. I think he should be starting 100%. And I hope he starts. I mean, next game's an FA Cup game. I don't know whether I want him to start that game because I want him to start the league game afterwards. But the league game afterwards on a Friday. So maybe he can play both. I don't know. But yeah, he should be starting our first choice 11, I think. 100%. Yeah, I'm with you, Gary.
It's a shame that we haven't been able to pick up another striker in this transfer window.
Yeah, but don't worry, mate. We've done a lot of background checks on strikers, so you know that'll help us get top four in the end. You know, I'm sure.
You know, look at this. Sky Sports News is streaming for Peacock Premium subscribers, Ken. I'm gonna go over there and watch their transfer deadline day show.
I was about to say, I'm like, I thought that was the change for, you know, match commentary. I'm like, well, I want to hear Gary Neville whine all freaking day.
Yeah, like you guys in America. I'm not moving to America now, by the way.
Oh, you're not?
No, that's not happening anymore.
How come?
Tariffs too much?
No, they're to do with the person in the White House, largely. But anyway, I'm not going to talk about politics here. We're talking about Chelsea.
That's right, yeah, buddy.
So,
yeah. Kansas has got a miss you score.
I know. And my wife. Yeah. We might be living in Scotland, so we don't know yet. We'll see. But, anyway, I don't want to talk about my personal life. Talk about Chelsea. Yeah. So yes, Pedro Neto, I'm with you. Who do you think is our second best winger? Gary, he was like,
oh,
you know,
100%. Why has my brain gone dead?
Sancho.
Sancho. Yeah. 100%. Yeah. Sancho.
I'm with you there as well. Yeah. I think I like him. I like him on the left as well.
I'll tell you what I'm excited for though is I want to see Tyreek George more.
Yeah. And we've got a chance now because we didn't sign a winger. We didn't sign Garnacho in the end.
Yeah.
So Tyreek George is going to get more minutes, which is good. Because he should. He should be playing definitely in the Conference League.
Yeah, and hopefully he'll play next week against Brighton in the Cup because I think he's an exciting young talent.
Yeah, I agree. And fair play to Maresca as well. He's given him opportunities this season. He started him. I watched him I was at the FA Cup game where he started and impressed. He's really quick, really skillful. You know, gets in behind, not afraid to take people on. You know, yeah, he's still young. He's still a bit raw, but he's got tons of ability. And he needs more minutes. So, yeah, hopefully he starts against Brighton at the weekend. And I think he causes them problems as well because their defence is flipping rubbish. Like, it's really bad. And that's not just because they lost to Nottingham Forest 7-0. You know, we walloped him as well earlier in the season. So, yeah, hopefully we can go and win that game.
That was when Sanchez gave him two goals.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, yes. Hopefully Sanchez never plays for Chelsea again.
Speaking of which, just while we're on that, an interesting like natural segue into this, but Scott Minto was saying with Mike, because we had Martin Tyler and Scott Minto on the world feed, and his analysis was spot on when he just said, look, Jorgensen didn't have much to do today, but the stuff that he did do when he had to make a decision, he just made the right decision.
Yeah, that's what we were saying earlier with me and Ramble were talking about, was that, you know, he did the simple things well, right? Yeah, absolutely right. Like, you know, when he had shots to save, he saved them, even if they were elementary shots. Didn't mess about, didn't create chaos, didn't, you know, he was just calm, like did what he had to do. What he had to do, he did well. And I wasn't nervous when the ball went near him, which is a big difference to Robert Sanchez, who I'm always nervous when the ball goes near him. Even more than Kepa, I was saying, like, it's an argument that he's worse than Kepa, which is some achievement. Yeah, you're right. I agree. I wish I could disagree with you so I could have a debate about something. But I actually agree with you about Jorgensen today. Yeah, he was professional, solid, you know, didn't do much wrong.
There were a couple of like errant passes he made when he got put under pressure and he just had to hoof it. But the fact that it landed to a West Ham player well away from the goal, where it was a case of possession had got turned over, but it wasn't, you know, futile. The fact that they'd got the ball, it wasn't anything terminal. Whereas normally Sanchez is giving the ball away on the edge of our box.
Yeah. I was saying actually earlier, I'd like to see the stat of how many goals teams have actually earned against us. Because I'm trying to, that didn't come from a mistake by one of our players. Whether it was Sanchez or like tonight it was Levi Colwill. You know, Sanchez cost
us. Colwill as well, like.
Yeah.
He had some front having a go at the ref going, you didn't even check that on VAR. It's like, mate, you don't want him to check it on VAR because when you see that tape tomorrow, when you're back in the training ground, you're going to be embarrassed by what you just did.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's 21. He's still learning. He's not the finished article yet. John Terry was making mistakes.
Oh, mate, exactly the same. When I look at Colwill, I just think of JT is that, and I always think about the 2002 FA Cup final when Freddie Ljungberg put JT on his arse and you're thinking, oh, that's embarrassing. And then 2 years later, he's one of the best defenders in the world.
Exactly.
It happens. Yeah.
I remember in 2001, I think it was against Liverpool away, John Terry made an absolutely horrendous mistake, gave the ball to them outside of their own area and they scored. You know, it was like a really silly mistake. And he was 21, literally the same age that Levi Colwill was. And 3 years later, he was a world-class centre-back. You know, and that, you know, they just, you know, just stuck with him.
Just want to mention on the Colwill thing, you know, that's obviously the glaring mistake that people are going to jump to. But look at every time in this game when he was 1v1 with Kudus, arguably the best dribbler in the Prem. And he was very good in terms of the one-on-one. There's several different tackles where Kudus was trying to dribble and he 100% locked him up. So, you know, it's good to see that even John Terry was making mistakes.
Oh, yeah. But the thing is that when JT was making those mistakes, he had Desai alongside him.
Exactly. I was going to say that.
The issue is that when Colwill makes a mistake, he's got Trevor Chalobah or Tosin next to him. And it's just a complete... So when you want him to be better than he is because you're just thinking, we need you to be better. Whereas with JT, it's like, don't worry, Desai will mop up the mistake or... Desai will just step up for a little bit here. Yeah. Whereas we haven't got that at Chelsea now.
Yeah, like if only we could get Van Dijk on a free in the summer. You know, I know
I don't want any Liverpool at our club. Why don't we get Thiago Silva back?
Yeah.
Hey, Fulham signed Willian back, so anything's possible.
I would have taken Willian back on a 6-month contract just because he's got experience. That's it. And he got Chelsea know-how. And a winning mentality.
And this summer we're going to play against Flamengo. Maybe David Luiz will come back for 1 year.
I did not like David Luiz. The number of flipping brain farts that he had, honestly.
He had several.
Oh, 100%, yeah. But the one thing was with him, he enjoyed the culture and he just bought into being Chelsea, which is why everyone forgave him for whenever he had a cock-up.
Exactly, I still love him.
Because it was almost like, oh, he's shit, but he's our shit, so it's all right, don't worry about it.
He had one or two really good seasons for us. Like, I'm not going to, but like, generally, like, you know, unless it was a really strong tactical system, it wasn't going to work. He wouldn't have worked under Frank Lampard.
But under Conte, in that first season under Conte, when Conte brought him back in from PSG, there were big question marks over that, and he was exquisite that year.
I remember.
He was absolutely amazing.
I mean, his long range passing was you know exceptional. 100%. I mean, it'd be great if we could bring Rudiger back, wouldn't it, from Real Madrid to play along. That's who should be playing alongside Colwill now. If Mourinho had sorted out his contract when she should have done, he would be playing alongside Colwill now, and that's what it should be. And they would have kept him. Like, I can't. It still annoys me. We let go of Rudiger. Damn those sanctions and damn Marina, honestly. Right. Anyway. Yeah, but you got some good points there, Gary, as always.
Well, thanks very much, Score. I'm going to leave so other people can talk, but it's nice to hear your voice and nice to have a little chat.
Absolutely. We're still waiting for Louis. He's not turned up yet. He's got another 20 minutes, half hour to turn up. So we'll see.
He's probably in the booze having a few beers.
Yeah, probably.
Benaventi, he can't handle his beer.
I've never actually gone out for a beer with him, so I don't know.
I've been out many a time with Benaventi, and it's always ended up messy.
Oh, dear. It's a shame he's not here to challenge you.
It's a shame he's not here to defend himself. Well, he'll be too wasted to defend himself.
The banter between you two is always classic. So, it's fantastic. But, sadly, we won't get that today, but.
Unfortunately not. But anyway, Score, take care of yourself, mate. Nice hearing you, Rambles.
Yeah, take care, buddy.
Speak to you soon. Ken,
see ya.
I'm going to LA for 2 weeks. I'll see you when I'm back.
All right. Say hello to Luca for me.
All right. See ya.
All right. So we've got, let's have a look and see who else we've got. I'm trying to see if we've got any. Ken, you're still up here. What did you think of Jorgensen today?
You know, I was just thinking about that, you know, because he got that start versus Ipswich and then got benched for Sanchez. Is he like how under Pochettino, like Petrovic, like is he the de facto? I hope and pray. Cause I know you saw those clips of when they were talking to Maresca before the game and were like, oh, was it a hard decision? Maresca's smiling, nodding his head. You know, that was probably, he probably made the argument to the owners or sporting directors like, okay, you know, you told us we don't need top. I told everyone, yeah, I'm not getting pressure, but you know, we need it. We don't have a front of the shirt sponsor. We got to fund this anyway. We cannot win with this guy starting. He definitely gives away another goal 100% in this game. 100% tries to do too much. So I think if, you know, I don't know if the FA Cup game counts, but the next Premier League game, if Jorgensen starts, that'll give me, at least a lot more hope in terms of finishing in a better position. Cause he doesn't try to do too much, does everything he can within his capability, you know. So like, it's kind of like when, you know, Kepa got dropped for Mendy and we were so convinced all our defenders were shit. And then they just needed a constant know that the goal, you know, behind them is solid.
It changed, didn't it? I mean, God, I wish Mendy had kept up that form because he dropped off so badly. I couldn't believe it. Because that was the last time he had a really top keeper. He was great for 18 months and then he just dropped off. Yeah, man.
You think Jorgensen's gonna stay our number one for the rest of the season, or you think it's gonna switch back to Sanchez?
I don't know, but I hope it's gonna be Jorgensen for the rest of the season.
Rambo, what was that? You said for sure? You think it's gonna be him?
I'm really hoping it's gonna be him. Hopefully he can kick on from tonight's performance, but we can never be too sure, sadly.
Yeah, we don't know. You can't tell for sure.
Is the window officially closed? What's the time?
I think it closes in like 25 minutes.
25 minutes. Plenty of time to buy the Gilchrist, to put down the money for the release clause. Plenty of time. That's 24 extra minutes than they need. I got no worries.
I think we have signed someone, although it's not been officially confirmed, but we've got a here we go.
The midfielder from I'm trying San to find. Etienne?
Oh yes, Matis Amugu. The 15 million euros. So £12.5 million. Basically what we got for Cassidy, we've used that money and bought this kid. He's not a bad player, but he's only played like 9 games in his professional career.
Yeah.
So I hope I wish him well, honestly, like any Chelsea player. And I'm sure he's a big talent. I'm pretty sure he'll be at Strasbourg next season. Cause Santos will come back, hopefully. But I think we should have brought Santos back now, but you know, what do I know? I'm just a fan, not a sporting director. that actually brings us on to our next topic, which is going to be the transfer window. But Louis is here before we get to that.
And
I'm going to bring him up.
Hey, Score, I see he's here, so I'm going to drop off. Go,
yeah,
Jim.
Ken, yeah, so
thanks for having me on for a little chat.
See you. Speak soon, Ken.
Take care, Ken.
You too, Ramble. Take care. Take care, everybody. Up the Chouse!
Absolutely. That's what I say at the end of the show. Right, Rambles. Is Louis up yet? No, he's not. I've invited him. Don't know what's going on. He hasn't messaged me to say he doesn't want to come up. So I don't think he has. Oh, there he is. He's up. Oh, he's gone down again. Oh, there he is. Louis. Oh, no, he's not. Oh, damn. Louis, you just missed. You just missed Gary. He was here seconds ago. We were hoping.
Evening, ladies.
Hi, Louis.
Evening, Louis.
How are we doing? We're all right?
Yeah, you just missed Gary. He's just gone.
Oh, boo. Sad times.
Yeah, what's he was up here. What are your kind of thoughts on the game? I know you've not been keeping up with what we've been talking about.
What we talked about. Go on, lay it out for me so I don't repeat yourself.
Pedro Neto being great, Jorgensen being better than Sanchez. Levi Colwell's mistake. And Mark Guey, Sparky Play-Doh, sorry.
He was good until he's pulled both his groin, his hamstring and his arse cheeks. How long he's out for potentially. It was good. I mean, one thing I want to talk about is a linesman. I don't know if anyone follows me on Instagram, but I had the confusing experience of watching a linesman who probably should be a linesman, but like he was an Adonis, mate. It was ridiculous. I want to know what he eats. But he was built like a brick shithouse. He's the sort of person. I mean, I think the lesson there for Pedro Amuel is don't make a man built like that be a linesman, make him a referee. Because I'm not going to lie, if he turned around to me and said, this is what's going on, I'd go, yes, sir, no, sir, three bags full, sir. He was fucking terrifying, mate.
You posted a video of him, didn't you?
I did. Did you see the thighs of him? He was built. He's huge.
Yeah. It must be.
So we were literally all stood there going, this he's not real. There's no way that's real. Like, how can someone be built like that? But more importantly with the game, it's 3 points. It wasn't impressive. People are saying, oh, well, it's good that Chelsea can, you know, grind out a result. There's grinding out a result and it's purposely making it difficult for yourself rather than the opposition making it more difficult.
That's what I was saying earlier. Yeah. It was complete self-sabotage. I said this again, like I want to figure out how many goals people have actually scored against us with good tactics and good playing. How many we've just gifted them? Because there's so many. I could barely think of a goal where they've actually earned the goal, where we haven't just gifted them the goal through a bad back pass or Robert Sanchez doing something, whatever. Like De Zerzi back pass, Levi Colwell back pass, Cole Palmer losing the ball, or Sanchez making a stupid mistake. Like so many goals have come through that rather than them actually earning them with good performances. And it's frustrating.
Which is a big issue, which needs to be ironed out. That's what we learned from.
I'm pretty sure that's because of a lack of experience. You know.
Funny that. It's almost like they need some experienced players in that team rather than a 19-year-old.
We've never said that before, have we? It's not like, we're just talking about how Levi needs a kind of Marcel Desailly next to him. You know, to help him.
Yeah. Who would that be though?
I don't know. That's a good point. You know, I actually jokingly suggested Virgil van Dijk, obviously knowing that's never going to happen. But I'm not a scout. It's not my job to find those players, but we need to find someone like that. They don't even have to be a regular starter, but somebody that is good enough to start for Chelsea, who's got experience, who's a captain, who's got captaincy experience, like who's a leader. You know, I mean, Mark Guey would have been a good
for that. Mark Guey, he's a good option.
That's one of the reasons I wanted Mark Guey because of that. He's a captain. He's got Premier League experience. He's got England experience. He's been playing top level football for 3 or 4 years now. He's a calm head. He's an old head on young, relatively young shoulders. Yeah. And hopefully we still go for him in the summer. Because I think he's still on our short list, but there'll be a lot of competition for him. Because Spurs bid for him today, and it was rejected.
70 million quid, wasn't it? They did that over the weekend, which is insane. Yeah. I mean, he's like, we were sitting, they're doing that because I know full well there's going to be more competition come the summer. But, you know, I'd like to think that'll be maybe with Chelsea to make significant pathways to maybe signing.
I think having someone like him next to Levi Cole would help. for sure.
I mean, we should have a good relationship with Palace. Obviously, we've got Chalabar back, and we gave them Ben Chilwell. So,
if you do the normal PSR swap thing, then we could give them Chilwell and get Guri, and it's like, you know, like sell them bit then Chilwell and then we buy Mark Guhi. But who knows? That's in a few months' time. Now, the window's 17 minutes from being shut. And what do you think about Pedro Neto tonight? Do you enjoy watching him?
Chelsea have still done nothing, which is of note.
Yes, I know. I'm very aware. We signed a 19-year-old from St Etienne, and that's it. And we brought Trevor Chalobah back. But that's it. No striker. For the fifth window in a row, we haven't got a number nine, proper number nine. I can't really say anything. And like, people know what I think about the sporting directors and this ridiculous inability to sign a striker. It's, you know, and it could cost us. It could absolutely cost us. Yeah. So, yeah, Louis, rambles. Your thoughts on that?
Personally, I think both directors should be gone by tomorrow morning. And that's not something I say lightly. I don't normally like to rant or call for people to be given the sack. But I think this window just shows when Stanley and Stewart are way out of their depths. It was a shocking window. I wouldn't even give it a 1 out of 10. You know, I guess a 0 out of 10. I think they fail to offload players. They price players out of moves who clearly don't want to be here. We've had to loan players out because we were demanding too much money for them. They failed to address areas we needed addressing. And we've got Mark Guhi went off potentially injured tonight. And there's a potential injury to Jackson. So are we going to have a fit first team striker at the weekend? It's possibly looking a bit iffy now. So we're going to have to go in with an academy player.
Yeah, and Kunku will probably have to score. You know, I mean, he's not even a 9. So, yeah, I know. It's just absolutely ridiculous.
No, we wanted 60 million for Felix and we wanted 65 to 70 million for Nkunku.
I literally laughed out loud when I heard 60 million for a Felix, considering he's barely played. I don't know what land they're living in or what they're on when they think that anyone's going to pay that for him. It's ridiculous. And Kunku, I can understand a little bit more because, you know, I think he's our second highest goal scorer. He's not had a bad season and he's a top player. Like, and he's shown he is at other clubs and he's been pretty good at Chelsea this season. I can understand them asking for like 50, 60 million for him, but not for flipping Felix. That's just madness.
I can't understand their reluctance to look at short-term options. I mean, okay, let's say Delap's the first choice for the summer. We couldn't get him now. Why not try and get Dusan Vlahovic for 6 months or someone else for just 6 months? You know, yeah. We're always thinking long-term, youngster.
Yeah, we'll be good in 5 years. That's all that matters, right? You know, it doesn't matter. Like, I mean, Strasbourg did some great business this window. Another Clear Lake club. Chelsea Women did great business in the January window as well. They signed two. You know, they went out. They saw that they had two needs in the squad, and they went out and bought world-class players in each of those positions. Funny how that means that you're top of the league by 7 points when you do that, instead of buying another kid and not addressing actual needs in the squad. You know, it's just ridiculous. And I've had, yeah, you're right. They need to be out the door. They should be. They won't be, but they should be. They're not good enough and they're out of their depth, like you say. And I don't know how they think they're doing a good job because they're not. This is Chelsea Football Club, not Brighton, you know, and you know, not some mid-table club, you know, we're a big club. And
sometimes you just need to take what you can for a player and move on. If a player doesn't want to be here, just get back what you can.
Let's get back what you paid for him and let's start to move on, you know, simple as that, really. You know, you can probably get back what you paid for him, which is like 40 million or something. You'll probably get that back in the summer.
And Jao Felix.
Yeah, I mean, he's still a decent player. He's not like...
Chelsea paid 57 million euros for him. So I think that's why they want the £60 million mark. But I don't agree with it. I think that, sorry lads, by the way, if I break up, I'm on the tube. That's why. But I think that overall, the whole situation, which Chelsea are currently dealing with, I think that these guys don't have a clue, and they'll move the goalposts. When things are going well, they'll take the credit for it. When things aren't going well, they'll push it away as far as they possibly can. And that's why they're out of their depth, because elite people don't do that.
Exactly. Elite people take responsibility and they get things done. And they don't talk about how great they are. They just are great, right? They don't have to tell everyone how great they are, because everyone just knows because of what they do. You know, like Peter Kenyon. I keep going back to Peter Kenyon. He didn't brag about how great he was. He just went out and did the job, right? And he signed some absolutely brilliant players. And he just got deals done, you know? Even when there was competition for players, we still got the deals done. And he appointed elite managers like Jose Mourinho, you know, who won everything pretty much apart from the Champions League, you know? And he just got like, he was a best in class person. We hired him out of Manchester United when he wasn't actually available, but we got him anyway. And he basically changed the club. He changed the mentality of the club. He got our recruitment right. He got two players signed like in February for the next season, you know, Cech and Arjen Robben. He got them signed in like February, March before the next season, you know, out of nowhere. And it's just like, no messing about, no considering, no shortlisting, no prioritizing, no like in talks with, no, thinking about a move. None of that. He just got it done. And we don't move like that anymore. And we should. Manchester City didn't even decide to sign any players until the end of December. And they signed four players this window. And all of them are top talents who are all going straight into their first team squad. What can I say? Like, you know, in positions that they needed strengthening. They just got it done because that's how elite clubs move. And we don't do that.
I mean, the initial movement in terms of Chelsea getting youth players through the door, I've understood it to a certain extent. However, this continued need to sign players for the future rather than sign those one or two talents that are ready now, which can help those players reach their potential, I don't get at all. It feels like, I think someone said it to me the other day, at the ground, and I was like, that's a really good point. It almost feels like, you know, they're just trying to Americanize Chelsea Football Club and to look at it like an NFL franchise or something where, you know, it is always, you've got to make the profit, you've got to turn money, this is how we're going to do it. And winning isn't necessarily important because they're guaranteed to get a result every time. That's not how it works.
Yeah.
And I think we've also seen this window how difficult it is to sell these players, because you bring players in and for one reason or another, they're not being played by the manager. Then when it comes to a time where you want to sell them, you're not getting the money you feel you should be getting.
Yeah, I mean, the young players they signed are probably, like, I don't actually, you know, they're pretty good players. It's just that they haven't bought any. When they've gone for proven player, they've been bad signing, like Felix. You know, like, you know, we didn't need him. You know, Kieran Dewsbury Hall didn't need him. Those two, the amount we spent on those two players could have bought you a top-class striker. Right? A proven top-class striker, 100%. I think it was, what, 75 million combined for those two?
Yeah.
I mean, waste of money. You know, and they're both like, they're not kids. They're more established players, but they're just not good signings. So they're pretty good. I mean, I think they're pretty good at signing the younger players, but they're just rubbish at signing the more established players. They just can't do it. And, you know, so just put them on signing young players and let somebody else do the proper stuff, you know, and actually build a squad. They've got no idea how to build a squad. They've no idea. They've never worked at a big club. What? They've got no qualifications that qualify them for, you know, running a big club. No history of being at a big club. No history of winning. And Chelsea are meant to be winners. And it's as simple as that. The standards need to be high. And they're not high at the moment. And I think I noticed this in myself, that over the years, and this is not just the current ownership, it's like since John Terry and Costa and Matic and all that left, like, there's been this drip, 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 like slight lowering of standards, you know, and become a top four team or a cup team. And we've forgotten what it means to be an absolute elite team, an elite club, a winning club, like a club that's serious. You know, that's up there with like, you know, the Manchester Cities and Bayern Munich and Real Madrid's and all of that. We've forgotten. And we need to get that back. And that's not going to happen under the people that are running the club at the moment. So there you go. That's my little rant. What are your thoughts on that, Rambles?
Yeah, as I said, I think we do need to look at bringing someone else in, and we need to bring, I would just bring one person in, and one person who's worked at a big club.
Yeah, Andrea Berta, he's out of work. He was at Atletico Madrid for the last 7 or 8 years, built title winning teams under a Simeone, built teams that got to Champions League finals, that did well in the Champions League, got to Champions League semi-finals and all of that, and have won trophies in Spain. You know, he's one of the best.
Because the really annoying thing is we aren't actually that far away, but every window you don't address what's needed. Teams in and around you catch up with you. You know, you can never sit still in the Premier League.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know, like in the summer, we need a striker, we need a goalkeeper, we need a centre back, we need a left winger, we need a left back. You know, five players, and they have to all be top players. We can't sign more project players. Like, you know, it's we've got to sign some proper players in the summer, and they won't do it. They'll go for more kids.
I wouldn't be surprised if we get one or two pre-agreements in the next couple of weeks, like we did with Nkunku.
Well, here's an interesting thing. We just did a deal with Ipswich for a player. We sold it.
Yeah.
A common player for like £2 million. And as soon as I saw that, I thought, yeah, I know why we're doing that.
And it's like, possibly the same with Dortmund, because we were also after Gittins.
Gittins is on our shortlist for wingers. He's high on that shortlist. And of course, Carney's just gone to Dortmund and probably will, and there's an option to buy. So I wouldn't be surprised if we signed Liam Delap and Jamie Gittins in the summer. I'm hoping that Felix does well at Milan and stays there, and we get Mike Maignan from AC Milan, but fat chance because he's a grown adult and he's 29.
Oh, far too old for our project.
Yeah, he can legally vote and drink, so he's not allowed to play for Chelsea. if you want to do a swap deal or PSR deal, that's the sort of deal you do. You sell Felix to Milan and you buy Mike Maignan from Milan as our number one keeper, right?
Nah, because Chelsea have already spent £100 billion on 8 different goalkeepers. So you've got to hope that would be the job.
Well, we've got to sell some of them. Like, I mean, it's just, we've got to go a fire sale of all these goalkeepers. Sanchez has got to go. You know, some of these other ones, who, like Penders is the one that I think has got huge potential, long term. I genuinely think that, but Sanchez can go. I like Petrovic is doing well at Strasbourg. I don't know what will happen to him, but we'd definitely make a profit if we sold him. And who else have we got? I can't even keep up. There's the one that was at Bar, Gabriel Slonina.
I think he needs to be moved on. Sadly, I don't think.
Yeah, he hasn't quite progressed as we want. So sell him as well. You know, that's down the middle, down to 4.
I mean, I said over the weekend, it should be a straight shootout between Jorgensen and Petrovic as to who's here next season. Petrovic is doing really, really well in Strasbourg.
He's one of the best goalkeepers in the league at the moment. The stats are just like his ability on the ball has gone up. He's really improved. You know, Strasbourg are doing well. They're a team on the up. They're basically the Brighton of the French league, you know, which kind of makes sense given, you know, we basically are. Right?
Funny what happens when you buy a bang average team in a league and basically try and put your own imprint on it when there's something that doesn't already exist there. Funny, that actually works. It doesn't work when you completely change everything you do.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it works. See, this way of working works at Strasbourg. It doesn't like, because they're not a big giant club that's challenging for the biggest honours. It doesn't work at Chelsea. You've got to have experienced elite players at Chelsea.
Yeah.
Simple as that. If you don't do that, you won't win the things, you won't win big trophies. That is as simple as that. It's literally never happened before that a team, I mean, the only time it's happened was like the Busby Babes, I think, where a team that was exclusively young players won big trophies. But that's the only example. There's not one other example. And that was a one-off because they were all, you know, world-class players and men at 18, you know, completely different time. It's not going to work again. You've got to have some proven established players and you've got to have some leaders. You've got to have some experience. It's simple. Everyone in football knows this. Everyone. Like, you ask a fan of pretty much any club, you know, at what makes a winning team, you know, and everyone will tell you, you need an experienced spine with leaders. You need strong characters. You need, you know, people in that team who can set an example. You can have a lot of young players as well. There's nothing wrong with having a lot of young players, but you need to have experience around them. And everyone knows this apart from our genius sporting directors and our genius Clear Lake guy, Bede Degbarly, who thinks that they know football better than everybody else when they've only been, when Bede's only been in football for 5 minutes and our sporting directors have never worked at a big club. But, you know, what do we
know? This is why I feel kind of sorry for Todd Bowley. I don't know. I put a tweet out earlier. Might be worth sharing it in the Jumbotron, mate, if you can find it. But it's kind of a case of you actually feel a bit sorry for Todd Bowley because he was vilified.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's one that was vilified for such a long time as the main perpetrator behind Chelsea's quote unquote downfall, right? When the reality was his whole mantra and the way he wanted to do things has been completely steamrolled by Bede Degbarly, quite frankly, bullying him into doing how he wants to do it with him and his, him and his fellas at the top who, you know, love to do an investment portfolio. And they made no effort to connect with the fans. We can talk about how they, you know, and the culture of the club. I think they talk about how, you know, they've made an effort to connect. Todd Bowley made an effort to connect. And there are certain elements of it which he did. But overall, it very much is a case of there we're saying, oh, we've tried to connect is let's bring in a PR company and a marketing company who are the best marketing company in the world, who maybe have never worked in football, but we've worked with them on everything else because they know how to do the marketing and they do that. For example, today before the game, all it was it was embarrassing. It was like a baby Super Bowl intro. You know, they're doing AC/DC, trying to get people hyped up with AC/DC. I'm like, why are you playing AC/DC? Do you want to get people hyped up? Do stuff which culturally resonates with the people sat in the stands. Not something that looks sexy for the telly. You want to get, they're like, oh, we want to get the crowd on our side. Do things that get the crowd on your side. Don't just play part life like it's, you know, passing by. Actually get it involved. Liquidate it. Actually use it as a tool. You know, this is what you need to do.
100%. And I got a story, which Simon Phillips told me the other day about Todd Bowley when he first bought the club. You know, Todd Bowley reads Simon Phillips' site and he's subscribed to it. And Simon has actually emailed him about what's going on at Chelsea to see if he can get some reaction. But anyway, the story is that when he was buying the club, Todd Bowley went to pubs with fans and talked to them about Chelsea and asked them about what the club culture was like. You know, what things meant to them, what the club meant to them, what the club was about, trying to learn about the club, trying to learn about the history and the culture of the club, you know, he wants to have a club legend on the board. For example, he wants to buy experienced players around it. He still wants to buy young players, but he wants to buy experienced players around them because he knows that's how you win, right? Just little things like that. As Simon told me, he's got lots of stories about Todd Bowley. I think he might have even asked Jose Mourinho what makes a good Chelsea manager. Because he wanted to know what makes a good Chelsea manager. Not just what makes a good manager, but what kind of manager works at Chelsea? Because he wanted to understand, right? That's the kind of guy he is. He knows the fans are important. And he knows you can't do anything at the club without the fans.
And Todd realised very quickly, the first window, he realised, hang on, this is really my forte. I've made some mistakes. I'm going to step back. I'm going to leave it to the experts.
Yeah. Yeah. And even then, though, I mean, like, look, he bought Cucurella. He wanted to buy Anthony Gordon, who's actually absolutely all in.
Rafinha.
Yep. Rafinha.
Ronaldo, Neymar.
He bought for Wesley Fofana. And I know that he's been injured a lot, but when he's been fit, he's been good. He also gave new contracts to Reece James and Trevor Chalobah. And agreed one with Mason Mount, but then the sporting directors came in and trashed it. you know. So I thought he's, I think, given he'd never worked in football before, he did a pretty good job as sporting director. It wasn't perfect, obviously, but like he knew that. He admitted it. He gave it up straight away.
Yeah.
Like he said, I'm not an expert, so I'm going to let experts do this. And that's what he does. He stands back and lets experts get on with it. But he wants best in class experts, not people that have never run a big club before.
He also tried to buy the club back in 2019, I believe it was.
He did. Yeah, he did. He's got an emotional connection to the club. 100%. Like he buys all the merchandise. He's always in like the baseball caps and scarves and, you know, jackets and whatever. Like he's fully immersed in it. So I hope he's just being quiet, plotting his next move and buying out Bedad if he can. Because I think if he did, he'd have the fans behind him.
I don't know. I think it's in some cases, I think it's a bit too far gone to both parties, unfortunately. He'd have to fight it back. But I believe that he's a man who could do it. And I mean, you talk about how he's like emotional connection to the club. He invests in things that bring passion and emotion and, you know, get through to the core of people. His baseball team, you know, that's what he does with that. He invests in films, you know, that's why we have the Argyle stuff. You know, he wants things that people and arts and passions which people can get involved behind and resonate with. Yeah. You know, he owns the Bruce Springsteen collection. You know, he's somebody who, you know, he basically believes and resonates with things with cultural importance. Whereas, you know, another tweet I put earlier today is to Better Leg Barley, it seems. This is just another string to his bow and Clear Lake's portfolio. This is just numbers to him, which is fine. You know, to some people it might be. You know, if the stat shaggers out there, it might be. But to other people, you know, it can mean so much more. And I think that's something which people need to understand and resonate with, which is something which I don't think a lot of people do, which is incredibly worrying.
Yeah, it is. I think a lot of fans have to share the same concerns. Absolutely agree. Just a little bit of news breaking. Harvey Vail has left Chelsea for QPR on a 3.5-year contract with the option of a further year. It's a free transfer, but Chelsea are eligible for bonuses and retain a sell on. So good luck, Harvey Vail. I hope it works out for him. He's a good player. Got a lot of talent, good attitude. Hope it works out for him. And that's the end of the transfer window, I think, for Chelsea. The window is now shut as well. Gianfranco Zola was on Monday Night Football. I didn't know that.
He was indeed. Ooh. Is Simon coming to join us tonight that we were discussing the other day?
Yeah, I don't think he is. Like, I've been talking to him today, but I don't think he's coming today. Unfortunately, I mean, he'd probably be saying the same things that we are. but I know he would because he wants Todd Boehly back and he's a fan of Todd Boehly. So
I'll tell you what, I think what we should do is what a lot of people do is just say things for the sake of content. I think Better Leg Barley's done an amazing job. Sorry, that was me being sarcastic. I can't do it. I can't lie.
Mate, you can't do that. You can't pull it off.
I can't lie. I can't do it. It's too hard.
I've got pretty good at the sarcastic stuff, we've done a lot of back work behind the scenes on finding strikers. That'll get us top four.
guys, you know we're going to reach the top four in 5 years time. It's all good. Everything's fine.
I can't wait. I can't wait to be regulars in the top four again. Wow, what an achievement.
In fairness. Chelsea are sat in the top four right now. So, you know, it's a step in the right direction. However,
we're only 4 points off third place as well.
Which is great. However, I think the reason that, I mean, I don't speak for everybody, I speak for me. I am still extremely nervous that we're not going to stay in the top four. It's purely because I haven't seen Chelsea play with any serious authority since before the Brentford game at home. Because even the Brentford game was a little bit of squeaky bum. So now for 2 months, Chelsea have played with very little authority. You know, you have no authority here. Jackie Weaver springs to mind. So I worry that Chelsea, I want to see Chelsea not just, well, my barometer for success has always been as long as we're moving in the right direction, right? And right now, Chelsea, for the first 6 months of this season, moved in the completely right direction. But that wasn't even 6 months. It was 3 months. You know, it was August through November. For 3-4 months, Chelsea moved in the right direction. But now we're seeing a regression. And I just want to, I want to see, for me, what progress would be is Chelsea maintaining their position in the top four with authority and no danger of Chelsea potentially falling out of it.
Oh, got some good news. Good news. Good news. Enzo Maresca, post-game. I'm going to share this to the space. He's saying that Nick Jackson and Mark Geary both said that they're okay. So hopefully no one is injured.
Who's the second one? I never heard of him.
Sparky Playdo.
Oh, him. Right. Okay. Yeah, with you.
Yeah, Sparky Playdo's okay. So is Neko Jackson. So that's positive. Because, man, God, if they both got injured at the same time, I mean, goodness me. You know, but you know, we'll sign a striker in the summer. That'll sort us top four this season. You know, but yeah, anyway.
Oh, the summer. We've heard that before.
Rant over. I don't want to keep on ranting too long, but you know, a win's a win. 3 points. We're in fourth. We're not far off third actually as well. You know, we've got Brighton next in the FA Cup on Saturday. And then we've got Brighton again in the league, a week on Friday. Hopefully we win both, and get through to the next round of the cup. And, you know, I mean, Brighton's defence isn't that great, so I'm sure we'll create chances in those games. So hopefully we can get a couple of wins. So we'll see about that. But, make sure you, check out the voice note review. Louis is going to do that. That'll be dropping sometime tonight. This show will be available as a podcast, tomorrow, hopefully. Thank you to everyone, for listening.
Hang on,
everyone
who's hopefully, there's no hopefully about it. It most certainly will be.
Oh, it will. Okay. You know, but I don't, you know.
Except that real authority. I like it.
It will.
It's because I'm the one who does the bloody edits. I'm walking through the front door to tell them, now you'll have it tomorrow, lads. Don't worry about it.
Right. Okay. All right. Calm down.
Your score. Okay, well, I know where you live. Sorry. Sorry. I'll calm down now.
I'm just about to move. anyway, what was I saying? Right, yes. So, voice note review tonight. This will be available to podcast tomorrow. We will be back after the game on Saturday and on a week on Friday as well against Brighton. Make sure you follow the Chelsea Echo, follow Louis, follow Rambles, follow Gary and myself. Make sure you follow all those accounts. Great content, great accounts, even if I do say so myself. A win, and hopefully this can be a start of a few wins. So thanks everyone, and up the Chelsea.